We're really happy you're here, Kevin. Thanks. Come on up.
Thank you, Harry. It's a privilege to be with you this morning. Greetings all the way from Canada. My wife Sandy and I are in fellowship at Brightwood Bible Chapel, and so I feel right at home here. So thank you for your warm welcome. My name is Kevin Schaefer. For those from Galilee Bible Camp, my camp name's Keys, and my children are Treble, Strike, and Capella. So if you know of any of those are my kids. I'm the Eastern Ontario Development Relations Liaison for Teen Challenge Canada. How many of you know, prior to the announcement that we're coming here, know about Teen Challenge? Okay, you're all dismissed. I believe that the Lord has something for each and every one of us today, and we're really excited to be here. For those who don't know that much about Teen Challenge, we are a worldwide network of Christ-centered Bible teaching, drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers. It's a 12-month residential program. Our mission is to help men and women overcome substance addictions to lead full and productive lives. So it's not just drying out. It's to lead full and productive lives, or as I like to say, to lead abundant lives in Christ. Today we have some of the men in staff with us. So give a wave. And I know what you're thinking. Teen Challenge. Aren't you stretching the teen just a little bit, Kevin? And the name Teen Challenge came from the origins of our organization. Some of you will know David Wilkerson and the work that he did in New York City. The book, The Cross and the Switchblade, talks about that. And David was just saying that that was instrumental in his salvation. So that was the beginning. Cross and Switchblade was the beginning of Teen Challenge. And so while it started with teens in New York City, those who were in gangs and those who were addicted to drugs, the mandate expanded. And we in Canada, we minister to men and women 18 years and older. And one of our men who's going to be sharing his testimony with us later is 71 years young and proud of it. And so that explains the teen part of our ministry. So enough about us. I'd like to open the Word of God with you. But before we do, let's come before Him in prayer. Lord God Almighty, Maker of the heavens and the earth, we come before you in the name and the power and the authority of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Before by whose name all knees will bow. And we bow before you here and now. Lord, we pray that all we share this morning will be glorifying to you. Lord, that you would be pleased by all that is said. We pray that you would, by your Spirit, prepare our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us. And please accept this offering of praise and worship. Again, in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My clicker. Where did I put my clicker? There we go. The passage I'd like to share with you is Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. And this is a passage that talks about two things. It talks about a broken world. And we live in a broken world. Isaiah lived in a broken world. And Jesus came to a broken world. It also talks about God's heart for the broken world. And Harry, I really appreciate what you shared earlier about that. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up or to bandage the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. As we look through this passage, we see a broken world. We see those who are poor, those who are poor in spirit, those who are feeling hopeless, brokenhearted, imprisoned. And there's many different types of prisons. There's the physical prison with iron bars, but there's spiritual prison. There's mental health prisons. There's darkness, there's oppression. There's those who have been victimized. And there are many who are mourning and grieving all around us. Many who feel like their lives have been burnt to the ground, burnt to ashes. And those who are feeling overwhelmed with a spirit of despair. That brokenness is not how God made us. In Genesis, we read that when he finished creation, he said, "It's good." No, he said, "It's very good." That is how he created us. And it's by our own sin, the sin of Adam and Eve, that we have this brokenness and that we carry on. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and all death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned." So here we are in 2023 with much pain and brokenness around us. You don't have to listen to the news very, very long to see it front and center. It's in our communities, our workplaces, our families, around our world. And there might be some here today in our midst who are feeling that brokenness. In 2017, this is well before the pandemic, Canadian Mental Health Association estimated that 6 million Canadians at some point in their lives would check off the criteria for being addicted to substances at some point. 6 million. At that point, it was 21% of Canadians. 1 in 5. At some point addicted to substances. It speaks to the brokenness. And what Harry was talking about is the self-medication for the brokenness in our lives. And that was before the pandemic. We know, I've seen statistics, I don't have them with me, but I've seen statistics about the growth of addictions since the pandemic. and during. By show of hands, how many of us in the room have been affected in some way by addictions, either directly or indirectly? Wow. At first, when I was asked that by our CEO, Glenn Smeltzer, when I met him for the first time, he said, "So how have you been affected?" And I said, I grew up in a Christian home. Not really, no. And then I started to think, oh, my best friend from school, addicted 10 years to heroin. Okay? And then I started to think more and more, and more came to mind. We started to realize that addictions many times are much closer than we think. Addiction doesn't discriminate between young and old, rich or poor, educated, uneducated, urban or rural. Sometimes in the rural areas, we have a higher addictions per capita in many of the rural areas than in the cities. Doesn't discriminate between churched and unchurched. It's not always the face of the panhandler on the street. Sometimes it's the executive in the buildings above. It strikes our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our family members. And I love what Harry shared. Addiction in different ways affects us, all of us, for all have sinned, and we all fall short. And I was reflecting on this, that in many ways, sin is an addiction to self. Doing things our way instead of God's way. That's what happened in the garden. And that's what we struggle with. I struggle with. So thanks for pointing that out. In the midst of all that brokenness, there is good news. There is hope, and that good news and that hope is in our Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 4, Jesus is in the synagogue in Nazareth, and we read about that in Luke 4. And he reads this exact passage, and he says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And what he's saying is not, "I bring good news." He's saying, "I am the good news." He's the good news for the poor in heart. He is the great physician who bandages the brokenhearted. He provides liberty for the captives and freedom for those who are bound. He accepts those who are rejected. He provides the ultimate justice for victims, comfort, consolation, and joy for those who are mourning. He is beauty for those whose lives have been reduced to ashes. And because of him, we can wear a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. The end of the passage, it says, the purpose of this, that we will be strong oaks of righteousness. And what God plants, it says, we are strong oaks of righteousness planted by him. And what he plants, no one's going to uproot. To his honor and glory. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life. And they may have life abundantly." And that life is in him. So we at Team Challenge, we cannot heal hearts. We cannot transform lives. Only he can heal broken hearts and transform lives. He is the great physician. He gives us new birth. He gives us abundant life. He heals. He is our good news. He is our Savior. He breaks the chains that bind those who are brokenhearted and us the addicted. A couple of weeks ago, our CEO shared with us a story of a man who's at a different center right now. He had been addicted to crystal meth and opioids for 20 years. He had been in and out of detox centers for about 100 times. About 5 times a year, he would go into detox. He tried many different programs. He tried Teen Challenge twice and left the program. And he had kind of given up, thinking, I'm hopeless. There's no one who's hopeless in Christ. 10 months into his program, he was given a pass to go out into the community. And do you know where he went? He went to the detox center that he had been to about 100 times before to say thanks. Christ had done a miracle in his life. The nurse came to the door to share or to welcome him, and she broke into tears. She had never seen him well. She'd seen him probably 100 times before. Didn't see him well. And there he was. She ran back into the center, brought everyone else out. And he shared with them what Christ had done in his life. He's supposed to graduate. He will graduate in November. He invited them all to his graduation. There are many stories like that. There are many stories in our center like that. There is victory in Jesus. But there's more good news. The good news that extends to you and I is that he calls us to be his hands and his feet, to be salt and to be light, to make a difference to those who are around us, to our colleagues, to our friends, to our family members. It's a privilege to be called by the Most High God to do his work, to be ambassadors. This is Laura. I was going to show the video. I think that in time, I'll tell the story. I can cut it down a little bit. But Laura was kind of at the end of her rope, feeling hopeless. Her husband had left her. She had tried many things to break free of alcoholism and couldn't. And at one point in her life, she prayed and said, God, if you don't do something, I'm going to take my life tonight because I can't keep going. At that point, she got a text from a woman named Marion inviting her to church. Coincidence? I don't think so. I believe strongly that Marion was listening to the pull of the Holy Spirit, to that prompting. And I want to encourage... Oh, I'll finish the story. As a result, Laura went to church, and she said as soon as she went in, she felt this is where she needed to be. She felt a peace. A little while later, she asked Marion, I need help. Do you know of anywhere I can find help? And she recommended Teen Challenge. Laura now, she's gone back, got some schooling. She has two beautiful children. She sings at the worship team at her church. There is victory in Jesus. And I want to draw attention to the role that Marian played in Laura's testimony. She was listening to the Lord's prompting. A simple text, come to church. And as we look around us, we see the hurt, we see the brokenhearted, we see those who need Christ, who need healing. And I want to encourage you to be his hands and his feet, salt and light. I'd encourage you to pray, Lord, who would you have me reach out to? I'd encourage you to pray, not only who, but what would you have me do? And then pray for the courage and the strength to do what he's asking, because sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we know who we should reach out to. Sometimes we even know what we should do. But we need the Lord's strength to do it and to have that courage. I'm thankful that Marian listened to the Lord speaking in her life about Laura. I talked a little bit about the origins of Teen Challenge, and it came from David Wilkerson here with Nikki Cruz, and I think that's Israel, I'm not sure, but David is in the middle there. In 1958, he felt the Lord prompting him to go to New York City. He was a young, he's 28 years old at the time. From a pastor of a rural Pennsylvania small church, being called to go to New York City and minister to gangs and the addicted. And if you've read the story or seen the movie, Crossing the Switchblade, he was kind of a fish out of water, to say the least. And he went and he tried and he came back and he felt, I failed. I failed. But he felt the Lord prompting him back. And he went a second time. And the gangs accepted him as their pastor. They saw his failure and said, you're one of us. God can use us regardless. So from 1958, Teen Challenge was started in 1960, 2 years later, in New York City. 63 years later, we have over 1,400 addiction centers worldwide. That's the Lord. That's what obedience can do. Over 1,400 addiction recovery centers in over 129 countries. In 1973, Teen Challenge Canada was born. And so we're celebrating our 50th anniversary this year in Canada. We have 9 centers across Canada, 6 serving men and 3 serving women. This is the Eastern Ontario Men's Center just outside of Renfrew, where we're from, where we minister. It's Canada's newest center. We opened the doors January 4th, 2022. So almost 2 years, not quite 2 years ago. Our building has 16 beds. Our current monthly budget means that we only have 9 men in program. We have 3 in our post-graduation program, so for a total of 12. As I said, our capacity is 16 beds, and we do trust that we'll be able to open up all 16 beds soon. From that center, I would like to, from our center, I'd like to call on Russell to come and share his testimony of what God is doing in his life. Russell.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Russell. I'd like to share a little bit about my life growing up. My childhood home was a 2-bedroom log home out in the country. We had no electricity, so we used oil lamps for lights and a wood stove for cooking and heating. In my family, there were 6 girls and 4 boys, plus mom and dad. And for a washroom, we had an outhouse, which wasn't too bad in the summer, but very cold in the winter. My mom would always be up early in the morning to fill up the wood stove so she could make homemade bread and cakes when she had the ingredients. We had no running water, no well, so we had to draw water from our neighbors about 3 miles down the road. Since we only had 2 bedrooms, quite often brothers and sisters had to share a bed. We were born about 2 years apart and from each other, so as the older ones moved out, more babies were born. I went to school at Carp, Ontario, to grade 5, then moved up to Glalada, about 8 miles from Arnprior. Then from grade 6 to 8, I went to Kinburn Public School during my teen years. During my teen years, I worked for Mr. A.S. Russell in Glalada. I helped out by cutting his grass, cleaning his car, weeding his garden, and picking fruit. Every weekend, there was a bunch of guys drinking at our house. Sometimes there were fights when they got too drunk. I worked for Mr. Russell until I was 14. Then my oldest sister and her husband Bill took me to O'Fallon, Illinois, to live with them. I got a work permit and got a job with United Bumper in St. Louis, Missouri, sorting and rechroming bumpers and motorcycle parts. I worked there till I was 16. There was parties all the time and drinking and music. I came back home to Glalada when I was 16 years old, 1968, and my brother-in-law, Bruce, got me a job at Gillies Brothers Lumber Mill in Bayside. There was still quite a bit of drinking going on, but usually on the weekends. Several times I tried to quit drinking, but I couldn't give it up completely. When I was 18 years old, I married Linda. It was 1970, and I had to convert from Protestant to Catholic, or else we were not allowed to get married. I took catechism in Arnprior and became Catholic. My dad was very angry and disowned me because of my conversion. We had a son in 1972. We named him Jeffrey, and a daughter in 75 named Lisa. Things went good until the early 80s, 1980s. I became a workaholic and things started to go downhill in my marriage. The drinking got worse, and she started doing drugs and drinking too. Funny, she asked for a divorce, and I said yes. I didn't know that I would hardly be able to see my children, but that's what happened. We had 12 good years of marriage and raising our children. Then both of us, in chronic addiction, quarrel and blaming the other became part of our daily life. Soon I was drinking in the morning and at night, so I started losing jobs. I realized I was in trouble, so I went to rehab. It was a 21-day program. It helped only when I was in the program. Then I did another month program. I tried several times, but always began drinking again. I heard about a 1-year program called Teen Challenge. I entered the program on April 17th of 23. At the age of 71, I tried for 16 months before I got into Teen Challenge. With my many roadblocks, my counselor forgot to send my application for 3 months. then the COVID problem, I knew it was my last chance to get sober. I've been clean for 6 months now and feel good. I enjoy church and social gatherings. TC Teen Challenge has made my faith in God even stronger than what it was. Most of our work is on religion. God is teaching me patience, kindness, knowledge, and love. I have a long way to go, yet I know the Lord is with me. Since I was young, He's never let me down. When I was 4 years old, on a hot summer day, I was lying down by a meadow. All of a sudden, the sky turned black, then parted in the middle, and a big smiling face was in the light. I became scared and ran into the house and told Mom. I brought her out, and as she looked up, she said, "My God rest, you've been blessed by the Lord." Then the sky returned to a beautiful blue. Now I'm learning that honesty and patience are much better than drinking and smoking my life away. God is showing me a different way of life with much more meaning about the Bible than I ever had. Also, the other clients are great to get along with and are willing to help and offer advice. Since coming to Teen Challenge, the thing that surprises me most is that I don't crave the alcohol anymore. In the future, I plan on living sober and smoke-free life and continue going to church wherever I am living. Hopefully, I will find another good partner to share the rest of my life with. One of the scriptures that encouraged me is Mark 1:9-11. One day, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. This scripture has always brought me peace because I knew Jesus was God's son. Thank you.
Thank you, Russell. It's been a real joy to have Russell in the program. The Lord has put a new smile on his face. Literally, he has new teeth as of a couple of weeks ago. But that smile is even more vibrant now. There are many great stories. No, I was talking to Dan earlier. No, they're not stories. They're accounts. Just like the Gospels aren't stories. They're accounts. And there's still many stories that are, I said it again, accounts that are still unfolding. Many men have accepted Christ as their Savior in the program. Just this week, a guy who had been in the program for only a week, I was talking to him at lunch, and he was just talking about he had been to so many other centers. He said he always felt that there was an emptiness after he finished. He'd be dry, but there was always an emptiness, and he'd always fall back. And after being a week, he said to me, "I feel this is different." We went to chapel right after lunch, and there was a really powerful message that was shared. I asked people for prayer requests, and he took me aside afterward and he said, "Can you have people pray for me? He says, I'm having a hard time surrendering. He says, I feel like I'm 50% there. I want to be 100% there." Wow. He talked to one of our workers later on, and later that day, he prayed to accept Christ into his heart. There are many accounts just like that. I want to quickly talk about what makes our program different. First and foremost, I'm proud to say that Teen Challenge is firmly Christ-centered. We have a dedicated spiritual formations coach, all Christian staff. About 20 hours a week are spent in scriptures and devotions and prayer and chapel and teaching. Because we believe that complete healing, body, mind, and spirit, come from the great physician. Because addiction is body, it's physical, mind, it's mental health, and it's spiritual as well. With that young man, well, he's young compared to me, but that man was talking about this Wednesday, that aching in his heart, that vacuum is spiritual. And until that's filled, there isn't complete healing. Healing comes from the Lord Jesus Christ from the inside out. What also makes us a little different is that our program is affordable. While secular for-profit rehab centers typically charge between $10,000 and $15,000, $20,000 actually, per month, our program, our registration fee is $1,100 for the whole year. That's 2% of our costs. That's 2% of our costs. Something else that makes us distinct is that we don't accept government funding for the reason that we can stay Christ-centered, because as soon as we accept government funding, there are hoops, there are strings attached, and we are firm on staying centered in Christ. So our finances come from donations, individuals, businesses, church mission boards, and Christian foundations. I'd like to finish with another testimony. James, if you'd come. This is James's first time sharing in public. Other than his baptism, I guess. You shared at your baptism. This is a little different. He's put his testimony to a poem. And I trust you'll be blessed by it.
So, good morning, church. Okay. I give you my testimony, stylized in verse. One last blessing squeezed from this curse. Curse of addiction and 20-year affliction. So I was born in 1988, Kyle J. Hustis, but Kyle's been put to death due to drug abuses. I've been reborn in Christ and shown where the truth is. So I go by James K. Hustis. Please don't confuse this. In first grade, I cried beside my brother in the gymnasium. It would be all up to my mother. Thank God she is amazing. Leaning up against the school apparatus, learning that my dad had up and left us. My brother Mike had a best friend, and no one could have known it then, that Mike and Steve would become brothers. Steve's dad would marry my mother. Mike was a good fit, and he blended in. I felt more like I was mended in. A new fabric and old clothes, like the parable Jesus told. They pulled away while I got torn. A new family dynamic was being formed. Lawrence, my stepdad, had 4 children. Their mother, an addict, took pills then. My mom and me had a close relationship, and I felt like all the other kids hated it. A joint family, 5 siblings, and I had a hard time mingling. The black sheep, left out, excluded, and ostracized, if only I had known the view through God's eyes. I was locked in the furnace room, sometimes for hours. Die, scratched in my dresser drawers. One time they turned on the clothes dryer while I was still hiding inside her. Another night they turned off all the house power, and they banged all the windows. Terrified, I cowered. In grade six, I smoked a joint with my eldest brother in the backyard. Perhaps this is when my life became fractured. First tried at age 11, a regular smoker by grade 7. In high school, I was determined to be cool, and a lack of acceptance at home, so at school I'd take the throne. Got the girls, I had the friends. It was all make-believe, all pretend. Then came grade 10. Things really changed in grade 10. My dad was diagnosed with cancer. The doctors had no cure, no answers. So I flew out to Calgary for one last visit, and his health was decent. I'm glad I didn't miss it. I was 14. We camped. We had fun. Dad had lost his hair and avoided the sun. I flew back to Ottawa. My brother stayed behind. Mike lived with Dad, so he happened to find. Dad passed out on the kitchen floor, and I was asked to fly out once more. I didn't do it, and I wish I had gone. In hospice, he asked about me, his second son. I was arrested twice that weekend, acting out, attention-seeking. I had been unlawful for sure, charged with assault on an officer. Shortly after this, my dad died. Shortly after that, I decided to try. At the age of 15 years, desperate to hide my tears, my first experience with cocaine, the ultimate cover of pain. So grade 12, I graduated with honors, 4 awards, an Ontario Scholar, outward accolades and achievement, inwardly stuck in bereavement. Was told all my life, you've got talent, kid, just never managed to challenge it. So I bought a wonderful house, I had a beautiful spouse, became a Red Seal carpenter, but never noticed a harbinger. Would have never envisioned this, losing it all, even my business. A vicious cycle, a lonely circle. Works, drugs, work, till. No relationships left, estranged and depressed. Meeting new strangers, no thoughts of the danger. I had many a nights with friends like Midianites. They'd pillage my fridge. They'd hoard what's in my cupboard. Take every last thing and take without asking. Lonely and depressed, I'd let in these pests. I'd learned to live with it, feeling like a hypocrite. Eventually, I reached complete psychosis, an inability to make sound choices. Locked myself inside a closet and thought I'm about to die. Drugs caused it. I packed up all my journals, ready for my funeral, and then ran out into the streets at 6 a.m. I saw a couple joggers and started to chase them. Please, please help me, I plead, just short of hitting my knees. But I'm just a crazy guy holding books in a box. No chance they'll take some time to talk. Far too scared to go home, box in hand, I choose to roam. I take a seat on my box of diaries finally, so lost, so lonely, my life's a quagmire entirely. One of many complete psychotic breaks, not my first, last, or only mistake. I'd hear voices, see people that weren't even there, constantly attacked by the prince of the air. The enemy in my mind convinced the radio's giving me signs. I went from friendly face at the pub to gas mask on face down in my bathtub. Water filling up over the towel on my head, clearly the enemy wanted me dead. I don't know what stood me up. I assumed God's gracious love. Pawning all my tools was probably my bottom, because I never went back and got them. I slowly sold every possession, feeling trapped in the enemy's possession. Have you ever noticed they're the same word, belonging to him and the things of this world? Suffering through my addiction tested me in a furnace of affliction, suffering grief in all kinds of trials to bring faith refined by the fire. Sorry to spend so much time on the suffering. I'm just learning now that even the tough can sing. I sing songs of praise, I sing songs of worship, and I do my best to walk like Jesus in stewardship. On June 28, 2023, the most important day in my life's history, I joined Teen Challenge in Renfrew, Ontario. 2 months later, I was baptized by Reverend Mario. My baptismal date was August 27th. With help from Mario and Earl, the angels cheered in heaven. If life were a boat, mine had capsized, and I repented and chose to be baptized. Like Peter, I listened, and my new life's been christened. And although I face storms, they're no longer my norm. I stand steadfast with Jesus, and temptations have ceased, yes? The Spirit led me to change my name. I decided to go by James. I've gotten into better shape. I've put on 30 pounds. I once was lost, but now I've been found. I've become fit spiritually. The enemy now fears me. God always wanted me to come to him, but my life was just too cumbersome. A daily struggle, an hourly juggle. And if you're wondering how I'm here, it's a miracle and the power of prayer. While I continually took a chance or two, my parents always prayed, and the Lord answers you. 2 Timothy 2:22 tells me exactly what to do. Just like Romans chapter 12, verse 2, I've been transformed, my mind renewed. And thanks to James chapter 3, I'm learning when and how not to speak. I don't feel like I've got enough scripture in, so go read your Bible again and again. I give all the credit to God, the Trinity, that I finally found peace, found serenity. I'm just one healed man standing in a church. He's the Lion, the Lamb, the King of the universe. I hope to continue swinging a hammer, confident now I won't end up in the slammer. Moving forward, it's whatever God envisions for me. Perhaps I'll be a missionary. So I thank the Great One for my salvation, and I can say with elation, Lord, I'm your beautiful creation. I can stand here stoically and say, Lord, I am your poetry. You are real to me in that you healed me. I am the vessel. You are my life. I learn through you. I love through you. I live through you.
Thank you, James. I think you're going to be a missionary wherever you are. I sincerely mean that. In closing, I'd like to challenge you. I'd like to challenge you to pray. First, that the Lord would open your eyes and your heart to those who are hurting around you. That the Lord would show you who he would have you reach out to and how. And then pray for the strength to obey. If you are feeling broken and hurting, please come to us at the back table. Come to one of the elders or someone that you know who has a strong walk with the Lord. I know that we would love to pray with you. I'd ask you to pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for the men at our center. For strength. For sobriety. For those who don't know the Lord, that they would find him. For those who do, that their faith would be strengthened. Pray for protection for the men in our waiting lists. Pray for those who are graduating. We have someone graduating November 24th. Please pray for them. Pray for our financial needs. We've grown, just a couple of weeks ago, we grew from 5 men in program to 9 men in program. And that's quite a jump. Pray. I'd encourage you to pray if the Lord is putting it on your heart to join with us. And I know, join with us financially. And I don't want to harp on that. That's between you and the Lord. And we have lots of materials out back. There's many different ways, mechanisms. First and foremost, I'd ask you to pray that the ministry that we are doing would continue to be glorifying to the Lord, and that he, through our ministry, would continue transforming lives. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your Son who shed his blood. He gave himself as an offering for us, that we might be whole, that we might be able to come to the foot of your throne. We thank you that in you, in your Son, we are complete. We thank you for healing us, redeeming us, Lord, for each one of us in this room, and for the men in our center, we pray that you would continue to sanctify us closer to the image of your Son. We thank you and praise you in the name, above all names, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.